Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I'm so excited about our guest this week. Please tell everyone who is with us.
Well, he's a comedian and writer. You've seen him on Conan, and he's the co-host of the podcast You're Making It Worse. It's Brent Sullivan.
Hey, guys. Hey. Thank you so much for having me. You guys did our podcast recently. We were very humbled to have you, and so I'm so honored to be here.
Stop. We were honored. I was not humbled to be there. I was honored to be there.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's good to see you. It's good to see your faces. It's good to see you both.
You know, nice to see anybody.
I mean, and John, I'm sure you get this a lot. I'm not used to the facial hair.
Right. I have a very quarantine beard, which I've also dyed. So it's a nice copper color.
Oh, you dyed it.
Yeah. It was like very, there was a lot of white in it. So I was like, well, let's just see since we're having fun with hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's come down. A little. When you first dyed it, it was very like heat miser.
Yes. It was but very now it's like mellowed a copper orange.
So what is the deal? Like, does Just for Men really work? Is it just that simple? You brush it in and it works?
No. Well, I see what's tough for me is that because my hair color is so exotic, it's hard. Yeah. Like, there's no Just for Men. I've tried Just for Men. It always looks very bad. So I had to go to, I use Real Men hair dye. And that's,
finally.
Yes. And that's what got, I mean, it still looked and looks ridiculous, but you know.
Wait, Real Men is the name of the company or you're saying Just company. For Men is for pansies or something? Okay.
I'm saying both those things. Real Men was the name of the company.
Right.
And Just for Men is for pansies.
Well, it looks fantastic and I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. I'm very, it's something I've worked really hard on, growing my facial hair. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you literally have to do nothing.
That's true.
Right.
It's less than working hard.
Yeah, there is a stage, I was trying to do it earlier in the quarantine, where there's that stage and I can never, my record is like 6 days of beard growth ever.
Really?
In my entire life. And it just, it gets so itchy and for me, it just looks bad. And like you can't like trim it nicely. And so it just looks unkempt and itchy. And that's when I can't like, everyone's like, oh, you got to give it another week. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to spend a week of my life miserable.
Fair.
You never did like the 90s. Remember when the 90s, when the goatees were king?
Goatees, their little soul patch.
I do. Mm. You know, Mark, I was born in 2002.
Excuse me.
So I think you should know that. So I've read about the 90s in history books, but I'm not personally familiar.
The ancient texts.
That's right.
Brent, we're smack dab in the middle of Halloween time. Are you like a fan of like Halloween or horror movies in general?
I love Halloween. It is my birthday's in October.
So is mine.
Happy birthday.
Thank you so much. Right. Thank you. When is your birthday, Mark?
Mine is October 3rd.
Oh, October 8th. Whoa.
Oh, wow.
Libras. John Stover is October 4th. That was my best friend growing up. John Stover from Ann Arbor, Michigan. And Mark Rennie is October 3rd.
That's right.
My mom's a support. I absolutely love Halloween. It's just such like, it really is like just such a fun holiday. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's like, I feel like it's in my lifetime, it's kind of grown from being something that like was for kids.
Yes.
And I remember like in middle school, you're like, well, I guess,
it's you over. Know,
at the end of trick or treating, you're like, I guess my life is over. I guess it's done. I don't get this anymore. And then, I don't know, it's just really come into its own the last like decade or so. And
it's starting earlier and earlier. Like now I feel September 1st is the start of Halloween season. Like people now, we used to just put out our Halloween decorations like the day of Halloween. But now if it's October 1st, you don't have your purple twinkly lights up. Yeah. What are you doing?
What are you sleeping? Doing? Yeah.
What are you doing, you animal? And I also love horror movies because I always say that I either love documentaries or horror because I either want to think a lot or think not at all. And I feel like horror is like the easiest one where normally you're just like, let me just get to the gore, you know, get to the, you know, the crazy
parts.
Will
they die or won't they? That's all you really need.
Yes. Who of these eight is going to survive? I know it's going to be at least one, no more than three.
You know, you should really check out a Morgan Spurlock documentary because you could watch those and check your brain out. You don't need to take in anything. They go down. So they're like junk food.
They really are trash, aren't they?
Yeah. You'll have a great time.
Did he do another one recently? And I'm a liberal guy, but even Michael Moore, you're just like, what are you doing at this point?
You know? Who are you talking to?
We get it. Yeah. You're preaching
we get
to the
it.
Choir.
We get it. You're liberal. And like, like Twitter's like more liberal than you now. So like the shock value doesn't even work so much. Right. So
I'll always remember, I might've mentioned this before, but I remember going in to see Fahrenheit 9/11 and I snuck in a Chipotle burrito in the pocket of my cargo shorts.
Wow.
Can tell you what else happened in that movie. I remember thinking, yeah, and that's about it.
Yeah, that guy's
that
a
was
jerk.
About the documentary or about your burrito?
Both. Well, Chipotle used to be better back then.
That's true.
Oh,
I feel the quality has gone downhill.
How dare you?
It's true. The chips are the only thing that's maintained quality standards.
Have you had their white queso?
It's disgusting. It's
No. It's the new one. It's not the one from like a couple years ago. It's like, it was released like within the last like 3 or 6 months.
Really?
It
All
is
right.
Their quarantine queso?
Phenomenal.
Quarantine
it's
queso.
Phenomenal. Maybe really? Like maybe it's been within the last year, but I know they had queso a couple years back and it was like a monumental flop.
Yes. That's
I didn't
I
think it was
had.
That bad, by the way. I'm a little more loyal than you.
Or you have low standards.
That's great. Either one. But I didn't think it was that bad. But then they made it again. They released a new white queso and it's absolutely incredible.
Does it travel?
It does travel. Yes.
Okay, good.
It does travel. Chipotle really is like my top five fast food.
I mean, I could have it once a week. But you know,
so good.
Speaking of traveling, the main heroes in our movie today also travel to a spooky locale.
Well done.
We're doing Five Cold Screams, our month of horror movies. This month, we're talking about The Shining. John, what's the deal with The Shining?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with The Shining. It was produced and directed by Stanley Kubrick, co-written with novelist Diane Johnson, film based on Stephen King's 1977 novel of the same name. It tells the story of Jack Torrance, an aspiring writer and recovering alcoholic, who accepts the position of the off-season caretaker of the isolated historic Overlook Hotel in the Colorado Rockies, along with his wife, Wendy, and their young son, Danny. Danny possesses The Shining, a psychic ability that enables him to see into the hotel's horrific past. The hotel cook, Dick Halloran, also has this ability and is able to communicate with Danny telepathically. And then after a winter storm leaves the Torrances snowbound, Jack's sanity deteriorates due to the influence of the supernatural forces that inhabit the hotel, placing his wife and son in danger. It stars Jack Nicholson, Shelley Duvall, Scatman Crothers, and Danny Lloyd. It was released on May 23rd, 1980. Reactions to the film at the time were mixed. Stephen King himself criticized the film due to the deviations from the novel. But the critical opinion has become more favorable, and it is now considered a staple of pop culture. In 1928, the film was selected for preservation by the United States National Film Registry by the Library of Congress as being culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant. And a sequel, Dr. Sleep, was released on November 8th, 2019 in the United States. And that is the deal with The Shining.
So, Brent, we asked you to pick a horror movie. Why The Shining?
Well, to be entirely fair, can I be totally honest? I gave three options.
This is true.
Because I didn't want to fuck it up.
Behind the curtain.
John was like, you can choose any movie. And I was like, I am going to fuck this up. So I gave three options. And The Shining is, I'm not like, when it comes to movies, I'm not a brainiac. Like I don't consider myself a dumb guy normally, but I'm not one of these people. I never see shit coming. I never pick up on imagery.
You're never like, I knew in the first 5 minutes he was dead.
Never. And my whole family is like that. I'll watch these like documentaries, these great, documentaries with these crazy twists at the end that you never see coming. And my dad will always call it within like 10 minutes. He'll be like, oh, he killed the guy, right? And you're like, God damn it. How did you know? How do you see through time? So obviously it's full of metaphor and it's really a smart movie, but it's also really simple. You know, you can just watch it and enjoy it. I love a couple other things that I really love about it are, I love that it doesn't rely on dark scenes to be scary.
Sure. Right.
And I also love, and this is sort of like a cultural, or I should say generational thing. I love Shelley Duvall because she, to me, looks like, she's beautiful, but she also looks like a normal person.
Yes,
and
right.
I've always said that this movie, to me, is so terrifying to watch because when I watch Shelley Duvall, I think of someone that like is my mom's friend, as opposed to movies now where you're watching in almost every scenario, you're watching supermodels run from dinosaurs or whatever the fuck is happening in your movie. And you're like, I almost can't relate to people that good looking running for their lives. And in a certain sense, I'm like, I don't really care if you fucking survive. Fuck you. You look better than me no matter what. And so there's something I find very kind of like grounded about the movie is that Jack Nicholson obviously is also not beautiful, looks more like a normal person. And yeah, so those are the things I've always loved about this movie.
Well, that's fantastic. Funny because Stephen King, one of his criticism was the casting of both Jack Nicholson and Shelley Duvall. He said he thought Shelley Duvall was too vulnerable and frail. He wanted Jessica Lange to play the part.
Oh, that's
he wanted it to be. He wanted the character to be more of like a faded cheerleader.
Oh, that's interesting. I guess maybe this is Jessica Lange of like 2020, but I would also put Jessica Lange in the category of like looks like a normal person and not like a supermodel.
Jessica
but I
Lange
know
of 2020 Lange does not look like a normal person. I love Jessica Lange. Don't get me wrong. That is not. That
doesn't look
my
like
mom's,
a human so much anymore. Yeah,
she is not my mom's friend.
I think that's obviously a fair critique. There are, you know, watching the movie now with the constructs of a 2020 politically active woke individual, you're like, this is very toxic masculine.
John, what's your history with The Shining?
I mean, I don't remember when I first saw it, but I'd seen it a couple times. It's a movie that I think is great, but it's not a movie that I'm like a big Shining head. Like, I don't like see it a lot. I don't go deep on the conspiracy theories involved with it, but I've seen it a couple times. I can't remember. I couldn't tell you how many times I've seen it, but I think it's great.
Hey, what are the conspiracy theories again?
Oh, they're exhausting.
It's like this movie.
If you want a documentary that's going to put you to sleep, watch Room 237.
I have seen that, and I don't remember any of it. Yes, exactly.
Right.
They think it's proof that there's like a bunch of different theory. One of them is that this is Stanley Kubrick confessing that he faked the moon landing is one of them. He helps part in that. Which if he faked the moon landing, don't you think that moon landing footage would have looked better? It looks like shit. He shot it would have been shot immaculately. And then another thing, like, it's all about like the Holocaust or something, you know what I mean? But it's like anything to a hammer, everything's a nail. So it's just confirmation bias running all through that documentary. It's infuriating. I just wanted to know about the actual people, how they live their lives. I could care less about their theories. Like, how do you like pay your bills? Like that's what I wanted to know. But I love The Shining. I also love, I'm a big like Stephen King fan. I have like most of his books still, which is a very weird thing to have. But I think it's like an iconic classic, one of the probably one of the top 10 greatest horror movies ever made. It just really holds. It's beautifully filmed. It's also the photography is stunning. The set, the fact that these are sets, like, really blows my mind. These are not. They did not shoot in an actual hotel. It's just like the control. You're in the hands of just like such a master when you watch this movie.
I looked that up too. I literally, like, the way I watch a movie now is I watch it in like 20 minute segments where I'm Wikipediaing. Like, right. I'll take like 40 minute Wikipedia breaks. And
it's
I
like
saw
a longer
that.
Quibi.
Right. Mm. And I saw that no one knows what Quibi is, but I saw that
shouldn't have invested all that money.
That it was sets, and it blew me away.
Right.
To think that, like, you would build that set as opposed to just finding some old ass hotel somewhere that you could shoot in. But yeah, they had to make these huge, beautiful sets.
Have you seen? I've seen Dr. Sleep, and I had a great time with it.
I don't
know if either of you. You know, what's her name? Rebecca Ferguson plays a character named Rose the Hat. She's a villain.
Okay.
Rose the Hat?
Her name is, because she wears a weird hat, like a, it's like Slash from Guns N' Roses kind of hat.
It feels very on the nose to me.
It's a little on the nose, but there's a lot of fun, like, psychic battles.
And it's at the hotel again?
Parts of it are, yeah.
Okay.
Also, the end, there's a sequence in Ready Player One where Spielberg shoots inside the Shining Hotel, which is actually pretty fun and stupid, but immaculately realized. Mm-hmm. Speaking of immaculately realized, as you may or may not know, we are looking for the gayest movie ever, and we have a very complex and Byzantine scoring system that we're going to use to determine how gay The Shining is. We're going to go through a bunch of categories, and at a certain point, you are going to add a category, which will then be added to the wheel. Which you'll see when we get to that part what that all means. You don't need to worry about it. But let me recap. This is our current top five horror movies. So we'll see. So this is a top five horror movie with a 51.85% on the gay scale, Sleepaway Camp. The fourth gayest horror movie with a 53.32%, Scream, with a 61.81%, Midsommar. Second gayest horror movie with a 64.92%, the lesbian werewolf saga, Ginger Snaps. And our gayest horror movie with a 71.84% is Interview with the Vampire.
Oh, of course.
So where do you think The Shining is going to end up there?
I mean, I was actually going to say, are we allowed to kind of predict? I think it's going to be very low.
Oh,
and
okay.
Even while you watching it, I was starting to sweat a bit. I'm like, oh boy, I might have chosen poorly because I feel like it kind of skews towards the hetero.
It's about an alcohol. You wouldn't think something with an alcoholic dad would skew towards the hetero, but go figure. All right, so let's get our first category, the canon categories. We're each going to give a score of 0 to 100, and then we take the average. So the first category that we're going to judge The Shining on is actual gay characters. So on a scale of 0 to 100, how would you rate The Shining on actual gay characters?
So, I mean, I guess because, to my understanding, there are no actual gay characters, I would guess 0, correct?
Well, there's the bear suit guy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, what am I thinking?
There's two.
There's the bear suit and the guy, although we obviously don't see anything, but like that, they never show guy nudity in
Shaft.
Movies. You never see Shaft anyway.
No hole.
So, yeah, so let's give it, what, a 10 then? I'll give it a 10.
A 10?
Out of 100.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's also, this is maybe a stretch. Mm-hmm. Would there be a case for Tony, Danny's little imaginary friend? He's a bit of a gossip.
He has sort of like a Harvey Fierstein voice. Is
a little bit, yeah.
A little bit.
In the book, he is the older version of Tony because Anthony is Danny's middle name.
Mm. Oh. Have you read the book, or is that just
I have
IMDb?
Not read the book. It's just IMDb for you.
Okay.
Okay. I didn't have time for the book, but I had time for IMDb trivia section.
Do you want to give it a 10?
I guess that's a fair point. All right, well then let's give it a 15.
15.
Yeah, I'll give it a 15 as well. I think anytime someone's wearing a bear mask, like, you just amp it up a little bit. And there's got those parties in the 20s. Who knows if what was his name? Lloyd, the bartender, he might have been.
I was going to say the bartender was a little, you know, he kind of had that like kind of bulging eyes thing.
Yeah, I mean, like, bartenders kind of have to flirt as a way of living. Sure. Like, that's sort of what they have to do. But, you know.
He wasn't taking any tips, though, because they said that your money's
not right,
good
here.
That's
right, your money's here. So good here.
That's
he wasn't taking any money tips.
Oh, I see. You're being
The butler does spend a little while almost needlessly too long wiping Jack Nicholson's suit.
That's after true.
Spills the bathroom drinks, attendant. The bathroom attendant slash, you know, butler.
Drinks, sure.
Old.
Well, that was
the laboratory butler.
Yeah, he was the caretaker from 10 years earlier.
Right.
Did he kill his family? Because was his thing he was a closeted man, and that's why he killed his family?
And he was doing it just so he could feel up Jack Nicholson 10 years later.
There's sure. What they call a long con.
Yeah,
that's right.
So you want to stick with 15? 15
I'm,
more?
I'm going to be respectful. I'm going to stick with 15, I feel.
Who are you being respectful towards?
The process.
Oh, okay, great.
I'll bump mine up to 20.
20. I'm going to give it a 10. So it's given an average of 15.
Wait, Mark, you were giving me shit. Wait, I thought I was like way off. I'm like, my scale is wrong. You gave it a 10?
Yeah, I think that's 10. But you're allowed to. You don't have to match me. Who cares?
That's true.
Give her an average of 15, which is 3 times Midsommar. So there you go.
Oh, okay.
All right, our next category, drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch The Shining and come away with a whole book of ideas?
Well, I mean, there's a world in which you could be a drag queen, Shelley Duvall, no questions asked.
I want to be in that world.
Sure.
She has that large sort of brown rug type skirt.
Yeah.
That I've always, my whole life, found kind of compelling. Mm-hmm. So
there's
also the twins.
Some twins. Drag queens have got to have done those twins.
Sure,
girls.
That's happened.
Right,
that has got to have happened.
They're also, in my Googling, there's very popular to have the Here's Johnny sliced with Ms. Vanjie saying goodbye on Drag Race.
So the
drag queens have been inspired to sort of interact with the movie.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you're The Shining, you're this iconic. I feel, you know.
Exactly.
If you've ever seen The Shining, you know Here's Johnny.
Right.
Right.
But like, it's a popular little 7-second clip.
Wait, what about the young, sexy woman who turns into like a bag of decaying flesh? That could be like
reveal.
A very risky,
yeah,
sort of like a
drag
Sharon Needles
kind of
style drag performance. So that's worth a couple points at least, I feel.
You could do like from Ariana Grande to Cher or something like that. Right. Very disrespectful,
very.
But you could do it.
Incredibly disrespectful.
So let's see. I guess then I would, because that's not like chock full, but I would probably give it a 25.
25.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. It's like, there's something there, but you're not going to be like a Knight of the Shining.
Yeah, you don't come away with like a drag queen boner after that movie, right?
I think, there's probably like 3 or 4. Like, I think you could probably do like the Frozen, when he's like frozen at the end, you could probably do something with that.
Sure.
You know, you can adapt, you know, you could do the lady version of that. But yeah, I'm going to, I'll give 25. That sounds good. Okay. Imagine 25. All right, our next category, gay icons. How does The Shining rate in gay icons? We got Shelley Duvall.
Shelley Duvall is...
Fairy Tale Theater, right?
Right.
Fairy Tale Theater, Popeye, Nashville.
But she's from Texas.
Ooh, that's gotta hurt.
It's gotta hurt.
Although so is Beyonce, right?
Yeah, that's true. But Shelley Duvall's from Texas from the 40s. You know deep down she voted for Bush. You know it.
I would also say the film's composer, Wendy Carlos, she's one of the first public figures to come out as having gender reassignment surgery.
Right.
Like way back in like the, even before the 80s, I think it was in the 70s. So I feel like she's got to be a gay icon.
I think she, in the previous movie she worked on with Kubrick, she had not transitioned, and by this movie she had. And this was 80.
This is 80. That's impressive. Why haven't I found her Wikipedia page? How do I not know about this?
You need to take another pause.
I did go to her website last night, and it hadn't been updated since 2009, except for a note where I think she like discounts like a biography that just came out about her saying, this is trash, don't read it. So gay icon. That's kind of cemented. If you're like slamming someone's biography of you.
Of you, then you're right. I guess I would skew towards feeling like there isn't a ton of gay iconry here. So
is there a more famous dick sucking scene than the one in The Shining, like in a movie?
So, all right. So I'm not trying to be argumentative here. I'm not trying to be argumentative.
Go ahead.
But like, do we definitively know that was dick sucking?
Well, yeah, his mouth was in the guy's lap. His
the
head
guy,
was in
but
the
guy's pants, I think, were fully on. Like, his pants weren't down around his ankles.
It was the 20s. They had a lot of straps and suspenders sure. and things.
Did they even have zippers in the 20s? I don't think they had zippers.
You're saying, what do you think
it was button
happening?
Fly. It was.
If it wasn't a cock sucking, what was happening?
Well, that's kind of where I'm like, I'm an idiot and like someone smart.
But I don't think it's one of the first things you think about when you think of The Shining. You don't think of like, oh, and the
it's
dick
not
sucking.
The last thing I think about.
Well, Jim, I don't think it's the top 10 things you think about.
But I couldn't think of a more iconic dick sucking scene.
I'm sure there are.
I mean,
well, think of one. I couldn't think of one.
What's that one with that rabbit movie? What's that gross guy did?
Jojo Rabbit? There is not.
No, not Jojo Rabbit. Like Run Rabbit Run.
Donnie Darko?
No, not Donnie Darko.
Run Rabbit Run.
There's some horrible movie that some guy who we don't talk about anymore made where he.
Brown Bunny with Vincent Gallo.
That's the one. Brown Bunny.
Well, that one's disgusting.
Well,
this one you don't feel bad at.
Well,
yeah. I think you could say this is an iconic dick sucking scene. That's all I'm saying.
Well, God love you, Mark. I just don't know if I would use the word iconic. I feel like
I'm just saying, name it. I can't.
I feel like
you're making a definitive list of the top 10 cinematic dick sucking scenes. You would have to include The Shining.
I don't think you would.
Well, then this is a bad list.
It's an interesting. Are we talking exclusively gay dick sucking or any dick sucking?
Even any. Good point. You can't name it.
Wow.
But it's not that common.
Because you're not allowed to show them in movies.
Mm-hmm. And this one did. And we don't give it points for that?
It didn't actually. It just saw someone coming up.
The implication, though.
Okay, you know what, Mark? I'm giving it 2 extra points than what I was getting. I was going to give it a 25. I'm going to give it a 27.
27.
You made some artful points. Just,
lobby when it matters.
I'll give it a 23.
23.
You took two points off.
Yep.
I'm gonna give it a 30.
Okay.
Also, that month, you know, we got Shelley Duvall, Wendy Carlos, and that dick sucking scene. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
26.67, and also the old lady in room 237. Pretty iconic.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She's sticking up for herself. All right, our next category: the male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form? Well, this is disaffected
really.
Camera for a lot of it.
So, yeah. So you mean like how often does the
like it, how the is the film camera itself presenting and like, ooh, this is hot. This is like a sec. You know, when you could tell like, oh, this is directed by a gay guy.
Sure. You know, it's so interesting because like I feel like heartthrobs. Like I think Jack Nicholson was considered good looking back then.
Well, we just did with your co-host Terms of Endearment a few weeks ago, and he's. That was years after this, 4 years after this, and he's like sexy in that movie.
Yes, yeah, I just think of him as like persona. The Joker. I can only see the Joker
sexy.
When I see him.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what, Mark? We can agree to disagree on that. No, but like even like Burt Reynolds, you're like Burt Reynolds is so unsexy by like modern, like current standards.
Right.
So I feel like
you want to feel bad about yourself. Watch a CW show.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. It's only underwear models.
Yeah, you gotta have the perfect body now.
Perfect body. It's crazy. Like, and that body didn't exist until Fight Club. And Brad Pitt was super cut in Fight Club, and all of a sudden everyone's like, I have to look like that to either be famous or gay. And now 50,000 people a day I see on Instagram look like that. It's insane. Right.
That's why going to like bear nights at like gay bars is like reassuring, or like leather bars, like, oh, like the rainbow includes all colors and sizes.
Yeah.
It's reassuring. The media may not represent it, but the community does.
I can eat after 5. Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, this is an interesting movie because I feel like it's so void of sexuality.
True.
In a lot of ways. And I would say in particular, if anything, I feel like it sort of, Jack is very desexualized. There's almost no talk of
just when he makes out with the lady.
Oh, I guess that's true. What am I thinking? There's a little bit of that, but
his butt does look good in those jeans, though.
Yeah, but they're also kind of mom jeans. I noticed
that was the time, but it's like it's not they don't look bad.
But they're not doing anything for him. They're not going like, let's take this up a notch.
I thought the bartender had, you know, from the right angles, a decent appeal.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
And,
you love a uniform.
I love a uniform.
An essential worker.
Love a subservient employee. But I still would actually skew towards saying it's not super sexual. So I'm gonna go pretty low for this, and I'm going to say 10.
10.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was going to say too. It's just like, it was 80, but I was like, I wanted Jack Nicholson to have a haircut. I wanted just like something a little bit more like, slightly more. Yeah.
Well, he's also terrifying in this movie, you know?
Yeah. And that was part of what Stephen King didn't like about it, because that, like, in his mind, Jack Torrance was a character who, like, was a good guy. And with Jack Nicholson, you're already like, this guy's crazy.
He's crazy from the get-go.
Yeah.
It's such an interesting moment. Sorry.
No.
I was just going to say real quick, like, having watched it again, probably for the first time in like a decade, you're like, oh, he's unlikable from the beginning. And I think I hadn't noticed, like, from the car ride up, you're like, oh, he's not a good dad. He's like, not
he
patient.
He hates his family.
He hates his family. And yeah, it does kind of emotionally disconnect you from him from the very beginning, as opposed to like thinking he's a good guy from the start.
But I suppose that is, like, in a way a lot more realistic though. You know what I mean? Like, most good people don't flip.
I mean, it's such a crazy job to consider taking, to be like, you're going to be, it's very much a movie of this moment.
Right.
But I mean, to just imagine, like, you're going to live in this hotel with just your wife and your son for October through
Eight
May or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, some insane length of time before there was the internet. You know what I mean? Like, that's just what you're going to do.
And like, before porn. Right. Yeah. You're right, John.
I guess I'll get good at this hedge maze.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, or never go in, because I'll die if I do.
If I get lost. Right. Yeah. No one will find me.
There is, this does not count for this category, but there is one of my favorite shots in this movie does involve the hedge maze, where they show Jack Nicholson goes to walk over to the hedge maze and he looks down upon it. Then they cut to like an aerial shot of the hedge maze, as if he is like some sort of supernatural figure who's able to oversee everything. Mm-hmm. I just think that's a great edit. I'm going to give it a 10 as well for the male gaze, giving an average of 10.
All right.
All right. Our next category, entrances with pizzazz. Well, here's Johnny. That's pretty pizzazzy.
That is like, I guess, number one.
An iconic
one of the most
entrance.
Iconic entrances of like cinematic history.
Yeah.
Shelley Duvall is sort of running in a very feminine way into rooms a lot.
She runs like a marionette. Like, her arms are just sort of like flapping around, like she can't control them.
She is so vulnerable.
Do you think they coached her to run in a more vulnerable?
She was apparently terrorized throughout the entire production of the movie. Like, just Kubrick was just like an asshole to her, just because it's one of those times where they think, well, you have to treat them like shit, otherwise they can't act.
Right. Yeah. How will they ever get there?
Yeah. I mean, they're being pampered with like sushi and shit. Like, yeah, you gotta like you gotta scare them somehow. Let me try to think of like, what are the other?
Well, there's the twins. The twin girls are kind
that's
of
right.
fun.
They don't
there's
really
the
enter,
guy.
Though. We sort of come upon them.
Well, that's a form of an entrance, a cinematic entrance, I would say.
Uh-huh. I suppose. The woman in the bathtub who just sort of slowly reveals.
Like, oh, that's very, very sensual.
Very Gaga.
The cook who gets killed with an axe. It's quite an entrance. It's very memorable, at the very least. I feel like there's a couple. I think, based off of Jack's Here's Johnny alone, I'm going to give this like a 45.
45.
I think based off of that, and I think that's really the only one, I'll give it a 65.
Hmm. 65. Yeah, I'm also going to give it 65, because it's not that crazy, but that one is.
It's big.
If they're doing an Oscar montage of entrances, you got
it. It's coming in there. Yeah.
That's right.
All right. Our next category, strident women. How strident are the women in this?
I like the doctor. I like the doctor.
And Jackson
fun,
is
right?
great.
Early on. And Jack, you know her name.
She's strident in a fun way.
I've always liked how whenever Shelley Duvall talks about the moment of abuse, of Jack Nicholson's abuse of the son, the doctor doesn't say anything. She just kind of stares. I've always thought that's like a very pregnant moment and very mature.
She's
a doctor. She's so
she
didn't actually
scream and run out of the room.
Shelley Duvall like brings Shelley Duvall brings it down quite a bit because she is so like kind of meek,
terrorized.
So I guess with the
twins
sticking up for themselves.
That's
and the woman in room 237.
The woman in the bathtub, yeah.
The woman in the bathtub who is trying to fuck with some heads. And
what is the thinking, like the ghosts? Like, they know, like, we want Jack Nicholson to do our bidding. So we're going to get him to do that by showing him scary things. That'll get him on our side.
I think it's more of like a messing with his head. Like, here's what you want, but a twist. You know what I mean? Like, just making him
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I'll give it a 30.
30.
I'm going to give it, because I think you've got the twins, you've got the old woman in the bathtub, you've got Shelley Duvall, who can kind of be a lot. Like, I think all the women in this movie are pretty strident one way or another. You know what I mean? It's, you know, even Ann Jackson, the doctor, is a little like, all right. So I'll give it a...
She doesn't really say anything, the doctor. She just kind of, like, the fact that she doesn't, like, this is not big Nicole Kidman in Big Little Lies with her therapist. She doesn't say, like, you need to get out of here. What are you doing? Do you have a plan? Do not stay in a hotel for 8 months with this guy. Well, that seems like a terrible idea.
It was 1980. We didn't know how to do that. I'll give it a 65 again.
65. I'm going to give it a 30 as well. I don't think it's that. It takes a long time for Shelley Duvall to stick up for herself.
Yeah.
All right,
and she can't even get out the window, and you're like, "Come on,
just take off."
You
one
are
of those
that
coats.
Skinny. You are that skinny, Shelley Duvall.
Take off whenever you're fleeing your psychotic husband. Take one thing off,
right,
before you leave the house. All right, our next category. I think you're going to do pretty well here. Macabre. How macabre is The Shining?
I would say the. All right. Wait. So what? Wait. What exactly is macabre again? It's just sort of like
spooky, death obsessed, how right. creepy,
dark,
how
weird,
dark, right. you know.
All right.
Adam's Family Values does very well in this.
Sure. So I would then, obviously, this is going to be macabre. It's ghosts. It's ghosts who are dressed well.
There's murder.
Yeah.
Elevator
murder,
full of
there's
blood.
There's rich
children
guys,
talking to themselves.
Elephant full of blood. I would say this is like 90.
90? What would make it be 100, do you think?
I guess maybe a little bit more gore or something.
More death.
But I guess when you just think about just everything included, I mean, the elevator full of blood, like, doesn't scare you, but, like, I feel like that's, like...
It's unsettling.
It's famous and, like, you know, as a kid...
It gives you pause.
You hear lore of a movie where they open up an elevator and it's full of blood and you're, like, somehow you're, like, was it real blood? And,
yes, and it's beautifully realized. You right. gotta see it.
Even though the doors don't, you ever notice they don't actually totally open? They right. just, the blood comes in from the side. I've always been a little perturbed by that, but either way.
Okay.
I'm going to say 90, because it's like.
90.
Seems.
I'm going to say 100. I think it you got murder, you got people going crazy, you got kids talking to themselves, you got the dead girls, you got weird sex in hotel rooms, you got ghosts tending to you in a men's room. Yeah, I think it's about as macabre as it gets. I think even before you get supernatural, just the premise of it is dark and weird.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, even if it didn't go to crazy town, it would still be like, oh, you're going crazy if you're going to take that job.
Right. Right.
Like, it's spooky from the, it's just unsettling. Like, the music does so much of that too. Like, it's just creepy and unsettling from the get go. I'm also going to give it 100. Wow. I mean, it's The Shining, given an average of 96.67. So The Shining is not as macabre as The Silence of the Lambs. All right. Our next category, dramatic lighting. How would you rate the dramatic lighting in
The lighting
The Shining?
I brought this up earlier. I love the lighting of this movie because it doesn't rely on like a ton of darkness.
Right.
And it's actually quite well lit. But in how well lit it is, I feel like that is sort of that's what makes it so terrifying. Cause you're like, you don't have to hide what's scary here. Cause what's scary is right in front of you. You know, it's the guy you're sleeping next to. So in that sense, I guess so, but it's so in its own way, it's actually lit very dramatically, even though it's not like
for
creepy
sure.
and nefarious. So I'm going to say 75.
75.
Yeah, it's relatively straight. Like, it mostly feels like hotel lighting where like everything is just well lit. Yeah, I'm going to go 65.
65. I'm going to give this an 80. I think it's.
Wow.
Looks fantastic, because I think a lot of times movies have white glows just because they're shooting on HD and it's cheap. But this one looks, it's like there's this oppressive whiteness, which is also how I describe most improv theaters. But it's like, it's just, that is like unsettling. Like, there's no, you're in like this unspace almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then also you got the bar in the Gold Room. Dick Halloran's place in Miami has this really fun blue blinds, like kind of lighting. That's
right. They make sure to emphasize he has two nude pictures of women on his wall.
I love those photos.
They really want you to see. For some reason, they want him to kind of seem like sort of a pervy old man, I guess. I don't know.
I think that was just art back then, right? Isn't that like you get that at like Bed Bath & Beyond or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Well, they said they wanted to do it because they didn't want him to seem like, oh, he's a godly man. Like, he wanted to seem like a normal guy. Like, he wasn't like, he didn't have this power because he was, like, connected to some higher power or anything.
That's such an interesting choice. If all you're trying to do is not make him seem like he's godly, and yet you put two nude women above his, in front of and behind his bed.
Right.
Yeah, he should have just been, like, wiping his ass.
Artistically done. It's
Bible.
Not, like, pornographic, but, like, I guess I wouldn't expect to see that in my grandfather's house, but you know, whatever.
Sure.
But you know, that's his right.
That's his thing. Yeah. God love him.
All right. Our next category, vibrato.
So in addition to literal vibrato, like singing, we also mean anytime they take a moment and they do extra with it. Like they sort of zhuzh it up and give it more and you like it. So it's like they take a moment and they go farther with it than it was necessary, but it's good.
Oh, wait, with music or like with voice?
With anything.
Everything. So like the long sustained like violin music is so unnerving in this movie that, and it even though like my neighbor recently moved and I have no one on the other side, so I know literally no one could hear it, and yet I kept turning it down because it was so loud it was disturbing me. So there's that. There's like the screaming, which Shelley Duvall does really well. There's the rah, rah, which, and then like when he starts to say it loudly sort of towards the end of the movie to wake his mom up, he's like rah, 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 and you're like, no thanks, I don't need this in my life. So I'm gonna give it 100 for that.
100.
Yeah.
Like I'll give it I think this is a movie that really like has fun and goes extra with stuff, but I'm gonna give it an 80.
Well, you got like Jack Nicholson's performance is pretty like amped up, like cranked up.
True.
Also seeing those ghosts at the end, like, okay, now you're just showing me all your cards.
Yeah, right.
All these skeletons.
Now they're just like, just get the fuck out. Just get
we bought all these skeletons. We need them. Get them out. Yeah, get some cobwebs on them. It's fine. So I'm also going to give it an 80. Give it an average of 86.67, which is almost 25 points higher than Mermaids.
Wow.
There you go.
Right. All right, our next category, footwork. How would you rate the footwork in The Shining?
As in,
there's
like,
there's like a lot of running around.
All those beautiful Steadicam shots.
All those great Steadicam shots. They have a walk-in freezer, so you got to walk into that freezer.
There's the dancing in the Gold Room when there's the party going on.
Jack Nicholson's limp as it, like near the in the last
very good
movie. The hedge maze. There's
the hedge maze with the snow on the ground.
And then he has to like retrace his steps. He has to go backwards.
Is a bit of a tough sell, but yeah, it's fine.
I mean, this isn't Chicago.
So in that case, I'll probably give it I'll give it a 70.
70.
Yeah, I'll give it a 73.
73. I'll go 70 as well. Give it an average of 71. Mm. All right, our next category, animal print.
Oh. I don't know, but I feel like that's the kind of hotel that has a lot of bear fur around.
It had a lot of like Native American art.
That's right.
There was a taxidermied buffalo head.
Yeah, I'm sure there must have been antlers. There has to have been antlers.
Someone had a leather coat at some point.
Yeah.
Boy, we are stretching.
And there was that bear mask.
That's right. There's the bear mask.
That was.
But it's certainly not like the default. So I guess I would.
One thing I noticed, Scatman Crothers did have a white and black jacket that looked like it was zebra print, but it wasn't. But for a second, I was zebra print.
So 90 for animal print.
98 for animal print, yeah.
I'll go 30, I guess.
30.
I'll go 20.
20, and I'm going to complete the pattern and go 10.
Okay.
Give an adjective 20. All right, Brett, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend The Shining to a gay person?
Like a gay person that wants to like get off gay wise, like like someone
cinematically
cinematically wants a gay movie.
You're talking to a gay person, and somehow they're like, oh, I've never seen The Shining. How likely are you to be like, oh my God, you've got to go see The Shining?
This is tough because it's so good, but I also know a lot of gay people who would be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Who would be against The Shining?
I just feel like if someone was looking for like a movie to just kind of like be here, be queer, get used to it kind of thing, then I would skew against The Shining. But I think in the scheme of things, I would go 65.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 50 because it's a good movie, but it's not like
right.
Your drag shows are gonna get so much better once you get all The Shining references.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I do think though, to me, like The Shining is like essential viewing for everyone. I feel like you gotta see, if you haven't seen The Shining, what are you doing with your time? But is it like the gayest trip you're ever going to see? Absolutely not. That would be Barry Lyndon. So I'm going to give it a 75, giving it an average of 63.33.
Okay.
All right. So that was the first group of categories, the canon category. Now we're on to the second group of categories, the wheel category.
So these are a whole bunch of categories that past guests have brought in, and we put them all on this wheel. And we're going to spin it four times. This little app on my phone. And then those whatever categories come up, we're going to randomly judge the movie on that. And then you are going to add a category that will be added to the wheel. Okay, so our first category is teamwork.
Teamwork. I guess the ghosts are kind of like the best team in the whole thing. Like they really come together at the end. Like it's all hands on deck. Come on, he's going after the kid. I mean, people. He's trying to kill his family.
The twins are together, even in death.
Joined at the hip.
The mother. I mean, first of all, mother and son dynamics are huge.
That's a tight one.
Mm-hmm. But Jack's all on his own. The cook is all on his own. The bartender and the old guy, the butler's on. So I'm gonna go.
We do see the hotel staff at the beginning all cleaning up together.
Like, that's right.
Shutting down for the season.
And then he's in the picture at the end, so he's joined the group. So I'll go 60.
60.
I think this is not a very big teamwork movie. I'm going to go 25.
25.
Boy, is my face red right now.
I'm going to give it 30. I'm going to give it 30 for the ghosts. Give an average of
38.33. Okay.
I'm trying to see. Teamwork is from our Hoosiers episode.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Felt.
How would you rate the felt? Well, Danny's toy has a lot of stuffed animals.
Right.
It's right. It's 70, so it feels everything does seem somewhat soft.
They're wearing a lot of layers. And also like the flashback to the 20s. I'm sure a lot of those.
I think there's some corduroy. And corduroy is felt-ish, right?
Felty, sure.
Felty. It is a bummer that felt seems to have kind of fallen off the radar.
Well, it's around, as we know.
It is an oddly
felt is a process.
Textile.
Merch available at TeePublic that says that very thing. Yes. Mm-hmm. There's also Shelley Duvall has that like yellow coat, which has like seemed to have like embroidered patches on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I couldn't quite make heads or tails of what was happening with that coat, but I wanted to know more.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go low. I'm gonna go 10.
10.
I'm going to go 30.
30. Okay. I'm also going to go 30. Mostly for those.
Wait, steps. So what movie? Wait, can you tell me what movie came in highest when it comes to felt?
That would be Muppets Take Manhattan.
Where you're going to kick yourself. Came. Yeah, when you find out. All right, giving an average of 23.33.
Okay, wearing another's clothes.
Wearing another's clothes. Well, okay. Is there Tony in a way, like the imaginary friend, like in the thing, like that's kind of like in a way because he's taking his power and kind of transferring it into another box where he can like deal with it.
Yeah maybe he plays dress up with Tony maybe at a later stage in life. I don't know. I don't see a lot of people.
Well, Grady in a way becomes like the he was not the butler before, and now or the waiter in the bar, and now he becomes
that's true.
The waiter.
So that's one
and then Jack
person.
Jack becomes at the end a party goer in the '20s.
That's true.
But does he become that, or was he always that?
I don't know.
So
it's unclear.
I would go low though. I'm going to go 5.
5. Brutal.
Yeah, I'm going to go 10.
10. I'm going to go 15 for Tony and compartmentalizing your psychic powers.
All righty.
I believe wearing another person's clothes is from Titanic.
That is correct. Okay, here we go. Weird line deliveries.
Weird line deliveries.
I mean, Tony, the imaginary friend, all the
line letters. Very weird. I will say early in the movie, Jack's performance is distracting because he's so like, when he's eating eggs, he's like, I love it. He's almost, he's doing like, he knows what he's going to become as an actor in 10 or 20 years. And he's like already hamming it up and the way he's eating eggs and he's just chewing on the bacon. I love it. I'm going to take a walk. It's like way over the top. So that's going to push it up.
I think all of his scenes with Lloyd are like very, like his line readings are very extra and over the top there too.
Yeah. The way he orders at the bar, it's, I don't know. There's something too like, ugh, we get
it. Something weirdly theatrical about all of it.
Yeah. I'm gonna say 70.
70.
I'm going to go high. I'm going to say 87.
Whoa. 87.
All right.
I think, I'm going to go 70 as well. Okay. I'm going to add 75.67.
All right,
Brett, the time has come for you to add a category that we could use to judge The Shining and every other movie to see how gay it is.
Do we have a category that is mother, son?
We have themes of mothers.
We have themes of mother.
Okay, what about crying?
Not specifically crying, no.
Because as a gay man, I always feel like I feel very comfortable crying, way more comfortable than most of my straight male friends.
Sure.
Now, this might not be particularly pertinent in this particular movie, although a little bit, but let's say crying. Let's say open signs of emotion.
I think crying is maybe more like open signs of emotion. It's like...
Hopefully. I guess by every emotion, I mean point? Like yeah. openly weeping, sort of.
Openly thing. Weeping, I like that.
Sure.
So, but this is Shelley Duvall cries a lot towards like the latter 30 minutes.
She's losing it,
and I also think it's pretty iconic. Like that whole scene. Like I think even if you haven't seen The Shining, you are aware of that scene. Yes. You're aware of her like swinging that bat and like being insane, sobbing for her life.
Right.
I think it's pretty iconic.
Don't you just wish she had like, get a better grip on that bat? Like the way you're swinging. Put some heft into
would
it.
Would that be a better one? Like a poor display of athletic prowess? Is that a more appropriate one?
That's funny.
That might show a gay, make a movie gayer. But I think openly weeping does as well.
Okay.
I like openly weeping.
So if we're doing openly weeping, it's not all throughout, but it's pretty robust. I'm going to say 67.
67.
I'm going to say 80. I just think it's so iconic, that scene.
And it goes on for a very long time.
It does.
I'll go 78. Okay. Giving an average of 75 for openly weeping. Okay. All right. Now we are into the bonus categories.
Yes. So these are categories that we're going to rate from 0 to 10. And so if it scores low, it doesn't get penalized or anything. It's just a bonus. So it's okay. It's easier
okay.
that way.
Okay. So this is just kind of pad the score, like me.
Exactly.
And
trying to pad.
So the first one, 0 to 10% bonus for makeover montage. Is there a makeover montage? Well, there's the old lady in 237. It's not a montage, but she does get a makeover.
That's true.
She's kind of.
She's
yeah,
at
she
the
does.
End of that sequence than she is at the beginning.
Shelley Duvall has very bright lips, but there's not really a makeover. I'm going to say one.
A one.
Right? I mean, unless I'm forgetting something.
Doesn't it suck? Like, I would think you're in this hotel for 8 months and they can't give you, like, the suite or something. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be in this other wing. Because they don't want to heat the other side, which I get would be very expensive. But like, give me the run of the place.
Right. I had the same thought. I'm like, it must
I'm sure they just assume you're going to.
I suppose so. John, what do you want to give it for makeover?
Yeah, I'll give it a one as well.
I'm going to give it a zero. There's nothing. I'm giving it a 0.67%. All right, next category. Cheerworthy cameos.
Well, I was excited to see Ann Jackson as the doctor. She's only in that one scene.
What else? Tell us.
You're a fan of Ann Jackson.
Yeah, we have since learned.
She is like a theater actress.
There we go. Okay, should have guessed.
Should have guessed.
She was like originated the role of Hopspa and Pippin or something. Nope.
What about the? I feel like the cook was like, I know his face, right?
Man Crothers.
Yeah.
That's not a cameo, though. He's not a cameo.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. What is he famous for, though? Do you know?
He's done a bunch of this.
Oh, okay.
But he was also like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He's done a bunch of stuff.
It's another interesting part of the movie. There aren't a ton of additional players. It's mostly just sort of like the three plus one or two other people.
We do hear Roadrunner at one point, and I went, "Oh, it's Roadrunner."
That's true.
Did you ever have the moment
Where you thought they might have fucked with the audio of Roadrunner to make it a little bit more ominous? Because there's one point where he goes meet a little slower. I've never heard him do it that slow. Wait, what was the shot? What'd you say?
Continental Airlines. I remember them.
Sure, there's that.
I like their logo.
Sure.
There's a
Libby's fruit cocktail.
There's a huge bush. There's a huge maze of a bush outside.
That's true. The hotel. And there's a big bush in room 237.
That's right. So let's go two.
Let's go two.
I'll go two as well.
Wow, Ann Jackson doesn't rate that much. I'm also going to give it a two. All right, next category, pool trouble. Is there any pool trouble? Well, the blood out of the elevator?
It's true.
Like a lot of blood.
That's going to be a pain. Is anyone swimming in that blood? I mean, it's not.
With the bathtub.
Look, guys, my hands are tied. I got to go zero. I'm sorry.
Zero.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'll go zero as well.
Zero. I'm going to give it a one for that elevator.
Maybe it deserves a one because somewhere in the hotel there's probably is a pool. And so we can get, even though we
if
don't see it,
during
we can
the summer.
Assume. Right. That's right. True. Somewhere in the premises. Okay.
So you want to bump it up to a one?
No, I'm going to go zero.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough.
Just glad you made that argument.
Hey, Mark does that all the time.
He always throws crazy.
He's like, but what about this? And what about this? And he's like, I'm going to go lower than you.
Welcome to our podcast.
I just want to give you all the options.
Yeah, right. It's perfectly fair. Mm-hmm.
All right. The next category might do pretty well here. Witches. How witchy is The Shining? Well, you got Danny and Halloran. Like anytime you have psychic powers, there's definitely something witchy going on.
That's right.
The woman in the bathtub
is very witch-esque.
That would be like a great short story or like the woman in the bathtub. Like, what's her story? You know what I mean? Like, let's see it from her point of view.
Yeah. Well, like what is that character? Did she die? Is she just like a crazy person?
Was she old when she died? Was she young when she died?
Yeah. Great question.
Both of those actresses, both the young and the old version, that was their only movie for each of them. The only movie.
Well, when you've nailed it like that, how are you going to talk
about it? I thought you were going to say they were the same actress and they did like a Boyhood type thing where they waited 40 years.
Stanley Kubrick is a perfectionist.
Right. He died, right? He's dead.
Stanley Kubrick? Yeah, he died before Eyes Wide Shut came out.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. So, I guess for witches, I'm going to give it a four because there's nothing, it's not like blasting you in the face, but it's present.
Sure.
There's a lot of supernatural.
I mean, if this had Rose the Hat in it, you would have to go.
You'd have to go much higher. I think there's such weird spirituality. I'm going to go six.
Spirituality?
Which is like, you know, it's like this haunted place. There's stuff going on.
I'm going to go seven. This is what I see as like a conversation happening. Give an average of 5.67. All right, next category. This one might be tough. Gay actors playing gay roles. Unclear.
Well, we don't know about the guy with the mask.
And I looked. I check my Google history. I look who played the guy in the bear suit in The Shining. No results. The only thing they had was like that character is referenced in the book of like he's like a fully fleshed out character who was like in love with the owner of the hotel at like back in the 20s who like rebuffed his advances but would like fuck him. And so this guy is like unrequited gay love.
Oh, I was going to say in the book he's gay?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have pushed back so aggressively early in the podcast. Well, yeah.
I was glad I was able to bring it up.
I wish you had said that earlier.
I forgot.
So I guess we're going to go low. We got to go zero.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'll go zero as well.
You got to go zero, I think.
Yeah. I'm also sorry to say. Zero. I know, it hurts my heart. Hurts
well, the last movie, the last seven or six movies we've done, the only thing to score any points was Edward Scissorhands. That got a 0.83. So even then, it didn't do very well.
Yeah.
All right. Our next category, one near and dear to your heart, maybe themes of mothers.
Oh, God.
There's a lot. So, I think she's so a really near good and dear mom. To
my heart.
If she she's could a great get mom. Danny she's got out a, of that situation.
She's a great mom. She obviously cares about him getting out of there. And they've got a good relationship. Made me a little emotional at one point.
Thank you. People say Kubrick is all cold, but he's got heart.
He's got some heart. I think that's the central and probably maybe not the most important relationship, but it's like arguably of one of the most.
The only healthy one.
So I'm going to say nine.
Nine.
I'm going to give it a six because it's not so much about their relationship necessarily, but they do have a good relationship.
Like if this was themes of fathers, it would probably be a 10.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly, yeah. But I also feel like Jack Nicholson's being a father is sort of incidental. Like it's just, he's just going crazy.
But he is a father though. He's there are fathers like this who do treat their fatherhood as incidental.
Yeah, he is a shitty dad. Right?
He's a shitty dad.
But the movie isn't about him being punished for being a shitty dad or anything like that.
Right.
So I don't like, it's not like a driving theme of the movie.
I would say like an alcohol ruining, warping, turning you into a monster is probably the theme. And now that terrorizes the family.
But does he actually drink alcohol? I mean, I know he does.
Yeah, in the bar he does. He gets off the wagon and he was like drunk when he heard.
So you think those are real?
I think for all intents and purposes, yeah.
Okay.
And it works as a symbol anyways.
Sure.
Sure.
Speaking of symbols, dramatic smoking.
Wait. Did you?
I gave it a 7.
Oh, God. Sorry. Got it.
Dramatic smoking. Well, Shelley has a great scene with Anne Jackson.
Oh, that's true.
Luminary of the stage. Luminary.
I also love, that she's smoking when her kid's eating a sandwich. How funny is it, like, again, like, what, 50, 40 years later, when you watch these movies and you're like, people smoked while their kid ate sandwiches? Like, well, their kid with white bread, by the way. But
in front of a doctor, even?
In front of a doctor. That's going to score pretty high. I mean, although she doesn't have one of those like Cruella de Vil style cigarettes. So I'm going to go six.
Six.
I'm going to give it 3 because there's really just that one scene. Yeah. And then, I mean, there's like 2 scenes really where she's smoking.
I'm going to give it a 6. I think like what, because we don't get dramatic smoking a lot, but I think this one really. Mm-hmm. Packs a punch because you do see like her anxiety and her like you know her repression through that smoking. I feel like it tells the story.
It does a lot.
The twins they stole a box of matches and they tried to light a fire in the hotel. That's smoking-esque.
Mm-hmm. Once she finds that he hasn't been riding, that could be a smoking gun in a way.
right.
But I'm giving it a 6.
Right.
Very liberal. All right, the last one in the bonus category: quips. How quippy is The Shining? Do you just laugh and laugh when you watch The Shining?
Well, here's Johnny's classic.
Here's Johnny. I also think, like, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm just going to kill you.
I'm going to John, bash your brains.
That's scary.
Thank you.
I'm going to give it a... Other than that, though, it's not very quippy. Yeah. Not very pithy, so I'm going to go 3.
3.
Yeah, I'll go 2.
I'm going to go 1.5.
All right.
Oh, I didn't. Whoa. I didn't know we could do.
Do we need to go back through?
You know, decimal.
I think we need to start over again.
All right. That's it for the bonus categories. Now we're into the iconic categories. These are kind of more umbrella, broader ones that are all these other categories can kind of fit within. So the first one.
And these are back to 0 to 100.
To 100. How homoerotic is The Shining on a scale of 0 to 100?
Well, I guess if we're talking the bear mask.
Where you guys think a bear guy to bears is just resting his head.
It's actually going to be penalized because it's such a non-sexual homoerotic scene.
No.
So I'm going to say, 10?
10.
5. I'm sorry, 5. It's got to go 5.
It's also presented as like another part of a chain of like freakish, isn't this weird?
Right.
Yeah.
Can you imagine 2 men sucking each other's dicks?
Right.
In a hotel room. I'm going to give it
I'm going to give it 20 because I also think that scene in the men's room with Jack Nicholson and the attendant has like a little bit of like something could be happening here. So there's just some sort of weird, sort of like dark, weird foreplay potentially going on there.
The bartenders jerk someone off, but we haven't seen it. Not on camera. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give an 10 for homoeroticism. It's not really. Give her an average of 11.67. All right, next one. Camp factor. How campy is The Shining?
Well, costume balls.
Costume balls.
Which
absolutely.
Seemed balls in general. Shit from the 20s, I feel like, is like very camp. Bear masks.
Sure.
A maze. Bush mazes. I'm actually going to go pretty high. I'm going to go 70.
70. It's pretty campy, you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, we also have, again, the fruit cocktail, that huge, huge tub of fruit cocktail that she serves. I think those paintings Scatman Crothers has, there's something very campy about both of those. Like, there's a way in it was like, oh, I could see myself having those and ironically hanging them up somewhere in my house.
That is so rude, John.
Like, in the bathroom, don't you think it'd be fun? Sure. But it's not like a super, super campy movie. So I'm going to go 60.
60. Oops, not six. All right. I got a list of some of the campy things I've noticed. It's on the shorter side. Go figure. Mm. An adult reading Catcher in the Rye. Unsettling resolves. Presenting solitude and isolation as an unusual situation. Jack's deadpan reaction to the story of the previous caretaker killing his entire family. Letting the ash of your cigarette get too long. Calling a space the Colorado Lounge. The Gold Ballroom. The fact that you can make a case for the real villain of the movie being about putting off your writing, referring to your wife as a sperm bank, going to a bar full of ghosts and being more surprised that your drinks are on the house, a waiter strongly hinting that you should kill your family, discovering that your writer husband is a total hack, a waiter nagging you about the fact that you haven't gotten around to killing your family yet, the first use of movie use of Chekhov's hedge maze, abandoning your abusive husband to freeze to death in that hedge maze. So I do not.
Wait, you said the list wasn't very long? Is that what you said?
Actually,
is that how you started that off?
I'm going to give it a 40 for camp. I do not think it's very campy.
Oh, wow. All right.
Give an average of 56.67. So it's about 12 points campier than The Silence of the Lambs.
All right.
That has Q Lazarus in it. Mm-hmm. All right, last of the iconic categories, over-the-top wardrobe.
Well, again, we talked about the brown skirt, which I find a little ridiculous. Other than that, I feel like it's relatively like fair, straightforward. Right. So
Danny's Apollo 11 sweatshirt is always struck me as strange. Like knitting a rocket ship is cool, but it seems crazy to me. Because you always think of like a deer, a hunting scene or something.
Sure,
you're gonna,
right,
wear.
Right. I'm going to go 15.
15.
Yeah, I think it's mostly just like those party scenes from the 20s, which even then it's like right for then.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll go 15 as well.
15. You know what? I think 15 sounds right. I'm going to also give it 15. Tough break, The Shining. All right, finally, it's the crown jewels. This is our last two categories.
So these we all agree on. So it's yes or no. There's no different scores. It's we all say yes or no to these two categories.
All right, our first one, a 15% bonus if The Shining has a positive portrayal of homosexuality.
I mean, I don't think it does.
I don't think it does.
Do we have to factor in like time period? Like, I guess for the 80s, it was all right, but I would largely argue
they didn't
no.
actually beat up someone who was gay. So
yeah, right. Yeah. No, gay people were murdered in the movie or in the making of it. So let's
go.
No one
got AIDS. So yeah
right.
definitely.
Although this is, to be fair, this is pre-AIDS. This is pre-AIDS.
That's true.
I'm going to say, no.
Yeah, I don't think we could do it. All right. And finally, negative 50% if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so we'll not be penalized 50% of its score.
Right. All right. So how do you think you did?
So now we're done. How do you think
That's
we did?
That's it.
I feel like it had a couple high notes, but I think my ultimate My earlier prediction, I should say, is that it was going to be relatively low. I'm going to guess mid-40s.
Mid-40s. Okay. All right. I will tell you exactly. So out of a total possible 2,206.96%, The Shining has scored 1,100.29, giving it a percentage of 49.86, making it the 38th gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Chicago, but gayer than Scrooged.
Oh, good.
Well, there you go.
And that had Carol Kane in it.
Wow.
It's Scrooged.
This had Scatman Crothers, so it works out.
That's right. That's right. That's a killer name, too, by the way.
Yeah, I know, right?
Right about where you predicted.
What are your thoughts? Are you surprised? Are you relieved?
Relief, but mostly, yes. Yeah. Right.
I mean, it's not a very gay movie, for sure, obviously. But I do think it's a great movie. So I feel like it's not... I feel that seems right to me.
Yeah, for our purposes, it's correct.
Mm-hmm. It's not a judgment on the quality of the film itself.
Correct.
Do I get more credit for coming very close to guessing what percentage?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay.
You have credit.
Is that where we are in this episode, Mark? You're at the sure stage?
You have credit.
Sure, Brent.
You get credit. Credit given. Well, Brent, thank you so much. A true delight.
So great.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. This is so fun. I really appreciate
it. Is there anything?
I hope I didn't get too drunk while recording this.
I couldn't even tell. Are you crazy?
Sipping my social club seltzers, but I
branded content. Is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Oh, you know what, you can feel free to find me on Instagram, which I rarely use, and you can listen to my podcast You're Making It Worse, and you can download that
anywhere. Definitely check that out.
It's a fun time for sure. All right, well, that's it for right now, but I don't know why I said it like this.
we'll be right back. We're back.
Are you doing a little Tony thing
little
with your
Tony
finger,
Red
John?
Rum right now. You can't see that. Fun. You can hear it, but there I am.
Did watching The Shining make you want to watch Dr. Sleep?
I not really, but what do you like Dr. Sleep or you like?
I thought it was a good time. Yeah.
But it was generally not well received.
I don't know if that's true. I think I would say mixed reviews maybe. I don't think it's a blanking sweeping statement that it was not well received.
I tend to think people were like it was a disappointment. Like it was not.
I mean, I saw it at home. That's my right. I had it watched on home on HBO and I had a good time. Well, is it as good as The Shining? No, but you know, for a movie trying to make a sequel to The Shining, a seemingly impossible task, I think it justifies its existence.
You feel like it was, you're glad they did it?
Yes. I was glad I watched it. I had a good time.
All right, cool.
I mean, who doesn't like Ewan McGregor? You don't like Ewan McGregor?
I love Ewan McGregor, but I still haven't seen that movie. It just seemed like it was sort of like a low priority.
Well, there's the guy who did it as Mike Flanagan. He also did, I don't know if you watched The Haunting of Hill House, the Netflix series.
I did see that. Yes, that was enjoyable.
And that was amazing. So he knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, maybe I'll check it out.
Yeah,
don't patronize you.
Yeah.
Speaking of patronizing, we've started a Patreon.
That's true.
And we've got a message on our Patreon that we're going to read on this podcast, an email from someone.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. This comes from James. And James says, really love your podcast. Myself and my best woman, as in the best person at my wedding, Rosie, and I listen every week. She unfortunately was involved in a major accident in Brazil last November.
Oh, no.
But through sheer determination and will, she's now recovering amazingly. Wow. During her long journey, we used to listen to episodes of your show that she missed while in a coma, and it was a great way for us to normalize a traumatic situation. She's still in the hospital, thankfully in Ireland, where we live, and we can't wait for her to get out in October. I know it would make her day if you guys gave Rosie a shout-out on the main pod. Once again, thank you for being one of our highlights during the week and making us smile when things aren't looking their best.
Oh my God.
Steve-o.
Rosie, hang in there. Jesus Christ.
Rosie, you're doing great. We're so happy to hear that you've got some determination and will. Thank you for listening.
I mean, having an accident in Brazil sounds rough. But then you're in Ireland. I mean, if you're going to recover someplace, you might as well recover in Ireland.
Better than in America these days.
Maybe go to that. Well, I was going to say go to the Guinness Tour, but you can't do that now. The Cliffs of Moher are gorgeous, iconic.
Iconic, sure.
An Erin sweater. I've been to Ireland twice. It's gorgeous. Oh, Rosie, I hope you're on the mend soon.
Yeah,
what a
Rosie,
terrible time to be in any recovery.
Although maybe it's the best time because no one else is doing anything.
You have to slow down.
That's true. Like friends of mine who've just had babies, they're like, the quarantine is like just having a baby. Like you're not going out. You can't do much. Wow. You're sort of... Anyway, but well, we're so sorry to hear you got an accident, Rosie, but yes. We're so glad you're doing better.
Thank you for listening. Anything we could do to help, let us know. I don't know what we could possibly do. Tell you to watch more gay movies, I guess.
Maybe.
Watch Dr. Sleep, Rosie. That's all I'm going to say.
You're going to tell someone who just got out of a coma to watch Dr. Sleep. Rude.
Well, maybe like it's cathartic.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Confront your demons, Rosie. That's what I'm telling you. That's
You're getting
advice.
Tough love here at Two Old Queens.
Time to face your demons. Instead of an accident, maybe it's an accident.
Okay. I think this is taking a turn.
My mom had like surgery a few years ago. She got some friend of hers gave her something called a damn it doll, which is just like a little skinny, like fabric doll with a tuft of hair. And you're just supposed to like whack it, whatever you just want to say, like, damn it. And now it's on the couch.
Oh, that's great. That's a perfect place for a damn it doll.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Steve. Yeah. Rosie, Steve-O. Hang in there. We're rooting for you. And thanks for listening. Totally. So if anyone else has, if you have any other questions for us or any stories or anything you want to share with us, you can email us at twooldqueens. That's twooldqueens@gmail.com.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at twooldqueens, twooldqueens. Follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the list of the current rankings. You could buy our merch at teepublic.com.
Go to teepublic, look for Two Old Queens. We got lots of fun stuff there. And also, as I said, we got a Patreon. So we're looking for the gayest Nightmare on Elm Street movie. So we're in the midst of going through that.
And it's a real journey. So that's called Two Old Queens, the Retirement Plan.
Yes.
And next week, we're continuing Five Cold Screens
with
Hellbound, Hellraiser 2, which I believe is on Amazon Prime. So it shouldn't be a problem.
Okay. I watched the first one for the first time this week. Right. I've never seen it before. It's nuts. Can't wait to talk about it.
All right. We'll see you next time. Thanks again for listening. Hang in there, Rosie.
Goodbye. Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Connie Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Bye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.